And that's not a wishy-washy hope. That is a hope of expectation and anticipation. If you're visiting with us tonight, we want you to know that you are indeed our honored guest. We thank you for your presence. And I'm going to say it again. And I know that the church is going to say amen. We want you to know that you are among friends.
Amen.
Amen. And not enemies. All right. If I don't get another amen from you, you ought to say amen on that. We're going to go ahead because we've got a long ways to go. And again, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. And I know you know that this is just my way of preaching, that I take some time to get there. So y'all just be patient and we'll get where we gotta go. John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1 and concluding at verse 13. John 3, 1 through 13. Reading from the New King James Translation. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven." In verse 3, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." I want to talk tonight on the subject, a new birth and a new beginning. A new birth and a new beginning. How many of you have ever in your lifetime wished that you could go back and have a fresh start at life with the knowledge that you have now. How many of you wish that? I think we all do. How many times have you done or said something that you regret? How many times have you done or said something that you would have to categorize as foolish or just stupid? And you thought to yourself, what in the world was I thinking? Why in the world did I do that? And somehow or another, you just wish that you could unsay what you said or undo what you did. I think all of us have sailed in that boat at one time or another. It's called being human. It's called being an imperfect human being. We have all done things and said things that we wish we could turn back the hands of time and undo. There used to be a song, "If I Could Turn Back the Hands of Time." Some of y'all want to admit that you know that song. The young folk don't know nothing about it. But you can Google it and find it, I promise you. But no matter how much we long to turn back the hands of time and undo the things that we have done, the harsh reality is that no matter how much we desire to do such, it can never happen. The truth of the matter is that we have lived in this life and we have made mistakes and we have messed up in life, and we have to live with those mistakes and the mess ups and the decisions that we have made in life. And we cannot go back and undo what has been done on the physical side of life. But thank God, that's only applicable to the physical world. Physically, we cannot erase our mistakes. Physically, we cannot go back and undo what has been done. But tonight, I bring you good news from heaven. Tonight, I bring you good news from God. That even though you cannot erase the deeds that you have done from the physical record, you can have all of your ugly, sinful deeds and all of your ugly, mean, and hateful words and all of your ugly thoughts erased from God's record book forever. And somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. The Bible calls that being born again. The Bible calls that the new birth. The Bible calls that a new creation in Christ. And tonight, I submit to you that you can have a new beginning, that you can have a new birth, that you can have a new start at life. God says, I will give you an opportunity to start all over again. Now, you cannot start over from the physical vantage point. But God said, and he says, that every sin that you have ever committed in your life, I don't care how egregious it is, God said, I will wipe the slate completely clean and give you a new beginning where there will be not one single mark against you. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm reminded of that story in John chapter 8 of how those wicked Pharisees and scribes brought that woman into the midst of the Bible class and broke up the Bible class by bringing this woman before Jesus. And I know that they did not give her an opportunity to make herself look decent because they caught her in the act. And they dragged her into the midst of this assembly to embarrass her. And everyone I could imagine held their breath and watched the outcome. And of course they tried to bait Jesus and they said, "Now, Jesus, Moses said that she ought to die. But what do you say?" They thought they had Jesus in a dilemma. They thought that if I pit Jesus against Moses, then he'll lose this battle, because either way he goes, he loses. If he releases her, then he has no respect for the law of Moses. Then he's discredited. But if he says she is to be stoned, then we can say that what happened to all of that grace and mercy? And we can run to the Roman authorities and say that we have one down here pronouncing the death penalty on people and he's in trouble. Either way he goes. But Jesus didn't say anything. He just stooped and wrote on the ground. And you know, many times when you're silent, your enemy thinks that he has you. But when I look at that, I see Jesus. Sometimes people can make you so angry with their self-righteous attitude that you can't say anything, because if you say something, it might not come out right. Now, Jesus would have never said anything wrong, but he fixed it so that he didn't have to say much. And so Jesus is just writing on the ground, and they just start egging him on then. "Come on, Jesus, what sayest thou?" And Jesus stood up and Jesus said, "He that is without sin, you cast the first stone." And then he went on back to writing on the ground again. And the Bible says, Brother Gibbs, that they all left. From the oldest to the youngest. Those old devils said, "We're getting out of here first, because we got a lot of skeletons in the closet." And so I'm just saying that if you start going back and looking at your record book and all of the stuff that you have done in life, and all of the things that you have thought in life that were wrong, and all of the things that you have said in life, and all of that stuff is on the record book. And God is saying that I can remove it and it'll never come up before you ever again. That's what God is offering you tonight. Let's look at the story. John 3, beginning at verse 1. The Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." Now, most of the Pharisees were antagonistic toward Jesus. Most of them did not like Jesus. But Nicodemus was not the ordinary run-of-the-mill Pharisee. Nicodemus was not a part of that overwhelming majority of Pharisees who were antagonistic toward Jesus. Nicodemus was a man who was a man of deep spiritual seeking. He was seeking after something other than what he had. Now, he was a scholar. He was a ruler, meaning that he was a part of the Sanhedrin. He was a part of the Jewish Supreme Court. So this man was a big shot, a big wheel, but yet he had a deep thirst for the knowledge of the truth. And he came to Jesus seeking something from the Lord. Look at verse 2. The Bible says this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, scholars spent all of their time trying to figure out why Nicodemus came at night. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know. You know, some of them say, well, he was trying to go to Jesus in stealth fashion because he didn't want any of his compadres to know that he was seeking Jesus. But all of that's conjecture. And so none of us know why he went at night. All that matters is that he came to Jesus. I don't care if it's in the morning, in the midday, in the afternoon, in the evening, or the middle of the night, he came to Jesus. And I just want to say to you tonight that all that matters is that you come to Jesus. And don't worry about what anyone thinks about it. Don't worry about those who will sit out in the crowd and criticize you. Look at her. What took us so long to do this? Look at him. He is now old and decrepit and broken down. Now he wants to come and throw the scraps to God. You know, I don't care when you come. And the Lord says, all I want you to do is to come before this life has ended. Today, the day that you hear my voice, he says, harden not your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. So Nicodemus came at night. And I pray that there's someone here tonight who will be like Nicodemus and come to Jesus tonight. Now watch what Nicodemus said. Nicodemus said to him, "Rabbi," we're still in verse 2. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, on the surface, you don't see much. But Nicodemus called Jesus Rabbi. And by doing so, he was acknowledging Jesus as a teacher on equal par with him. Now, that may sound like a no-brainer, but in that culture, Jesus was considered to be a common working man. He was a Galilean carpenter. And Nicodemus was considered a learned scholar and theologian in his own right. And in that day, they never raised a person that was a common worker to the level of being a theologian and scholar or rabbi equal to them. And so Nicodemus said, "I've been listening to you. And I have seen what you have done. And common sense tells me that you ain't the run-of-the-mill ordinary Jewish carpenter." Are y'all with me? And interestingly, the phrase "from God," we know that you are a teacher from God. In the Greek, it is in the emphatic position. Now, when something is emphatic, that simply means that that is the point of emphasis. And so what he is saying is, "Jesus, we recognize beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are indeed God's man and that God has anointed your teaching." But Nicodemus will soon discover that not only is he God's man, he is the God-man. And that he is not just a teacher who has come from God, but that he was God who had come to teach. Are y'all with me? Now watch the Bible. Watch the Bible. Look at verse number 3. And I like what Jesus does. Now Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Nicodemus came and he gave him a tremendous compliment. He says, "Now, I know people may see you as a common Galilean, but I recognize that you're much more than that. That you are indeed a teacher come from God." Jesus didn't say, "Thank you, Nicodemus. I appreciate your recognition of that." You see, because God does not need our endorsement. He does not need approval from us. Are y'all listening to me? Listen, Jesus didn't even comment on that. He cut through all of that superficial veneer and got right to the point. Jesus said, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God." Now watch this. Nicodemus, you need to understand that what you need is a new birth. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now, look, Nicodemus misunderstood Jesus' statement. Instead of thinking on a spiritual level, he immediately went to the natural level. Now, let me tell you what Jesus did, and he didn't even recognize it. Jesus took the scholar to school. Are y'all listening to me? He set the theologian down and taught him theology. He took him to the deep end of the theological pool, and Nicodemus was drowning because he was still waiting in the kiddie pool. Are y'all listening to me? Jesus was too deep for him to comprehend the spiritual aspect of the statement that he just made, that you must be born again. And I just want to tell you, I don't know about y'all, but Jesus is deep. Jesus is deep. And I want to tell you, he said some simple things that are deep. Are y'all listening to me? Jesus says some things sometimes that to me just seem illogical and unreasonable. Jesus, for example, says, "Love your enemies." That's deep. "Pray for those that despitefully use you." That's deep. "Don't do evil for evil." That's deep. "Turn the other cheek." That's deep. "Deny yourself." That's deep. "The greatest among you shall be the least among you." That's deep. "You got to lose your life in order to save your life." That's deep. Jesus said a whole lot of things that when you listen to them, they don't make any sense unless you understand spiritual realities. Look at verses 5 and 6. Now, Jesus answered Nicodemus, said, "Can I get back in my mother's womb?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me? Stay with me. "He cannot enter the kingdom of God." Watch verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, we're going to walk through this. And let us understand what Jesus is saying. Now, Jesus connects, keep this in mind, water and spirit. All right? Water and spirit are connected. And water and spirit in the new birth process are inseparable. Listen now. Flesh and spirit are not connected. They are separate entities. Jesus said, watch this now. The only thing, put it back, that which, no, go back. Now you want to write it. That which is born of the flesh is what? What is he saying? The only thing that the flesh can produce is more flesh. I don't care how hard you try. Every time you have a child, he or she is flesh. So I don't care what you think about it. Jesus is telling you that what I'm talking about is beyond the fleshly realm. But like the flesh can only produce flesh, the spirit only works on the spirit. But stay with me. When he works on the spirit, then that transformation of the spirit will show up on the outside in the flesh. Now y'all stay, I'm going to prove that to you in the text. All right, watch what he does. He says, water and flesh do not belong together, but water and spirit do belong together. In other words, the new birth occurs when the water and the spirit are conjoined with one another. See, getting in the water without the spirit means you got wet. Are y'all listening to me? See, you can get people all over the city that are getting baptized in different churches. But if the Holy Spirit is not involved in that, then all they got was wet. So you got to bring the spirit in conjunction with the water. And that only happens through proper teaching. Watch this. Now, the question is, when does this water and spirit come together? It happens in baptism. But stay with me. This is a teaching lesson. Are y'all ready? It's not a physical birth. It is a spiritual birth. You see, baptism, listen, baptism is God's spiritual burial ground, operating room, and birthing room. I'm going to prove that to you. Yes, yes, sir. God buries, he operates, and he resurrects in baptism. You see, baptism, in baptism, you take a dead man spiritually, bury him in the watery grave of baptism. And while he is in the water, God's Holy Spirit operates and resurrects new life in him, so that when he comes forth as a new man or new woman in Christ Jesus. Now let me prove that to you, because you said all that. Can you prove it? Let me prove it to you. Go to Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 11. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 11 and concluding at verse number 14. This is good stuff. Watch this. in him that is in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. All right? A circumcision occurred. But this one was not done by the hands on the physical flesh. This one was done without hands. Watch this now. What was it involving? By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. Now watch this. So this circumcision had to do with the putting away of your sins that you committed in your body. Are you listening to me? By how was it performed? It was performed by Christ, by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, he was the one that was performing this operation that did away with the sins of the flesh. Now the question is, when did it happen? Verse 12. Bear it with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him, watch this now, through faith in the what? Your faith is not in the working of the water. Come on, church. My faith is in the working of God that he performs on me in the water. The water does not have the power. God has the power. But the water is the room where God operates. Lord have mercy. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Watch this now. He said, now, watch this. He said, bear it with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God. Where is my faith? The KJV says, in the operation of God. So my faith is in the working of God. God says, if you get in the water, I'm going to cut away your sins. If you get in the water, the dead you will be forever gone, and I'm going to raise up a new you. And so I get in the water, believe it, in the operation of God, that God will do in that water what he said he would do. And so my faith is in the working of God and not in the working of man. Are y'all listening to me? I hope everybody that does not believe in baptism, you can hear this. Because y'all want to accuse the Church of Christ of believing that the water has the power to save. No, no. It's God who saves. Come on, church. Amen. Say amen if you can. Amen. Break out of that starch suit and say amen. Amen. The glory belongs to God, not the water. All right, watch this. Buried with him in baptism. I just want to get with the Lord, but you better get in the water if you're going to get with him. You see, there's a co-burying. And there's a co-rising. I'm buried with him and I rise with him. Are y'all listening to me? Watch this now. Watch this now. Raise him from the dead. Watch this. Go to the next verse. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that's the same as your sins, your trespasses and sins, he has made alive together with him. When did we get with him? The previous verse said, in baptism. So when I got with him in baptism, God made me alive together with Christ. Having forgiven you. How many? How many? Everything that you've ever done is gone. Are y'all with me? Watch this. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross, or to the cross. Here is what he tells us, that when Jesus Christ, listen to me, died on the cross, he took the law away. Listen, that law stood as a list of things that was constantly in our face, saying, look at all of the rules and regulations and laws you have broken. And so you got a whole list of stuff that you just messed up in. But when Christ died on the cross, he did away with the list. But you don't get a chance to benefit from that until you get with him in baptism. Amen. So when you get with him, he counts us the debt.
Amen.
All right. Am I making sense to you?
Yes, sir.
He removes the list.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. I thought some folk would be happy by now. All right, watch what he says. Watch this now. When that new life breaks the water, it is new life. Look at Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Watch it. The Bible says, for we ourselves were also once foolish. Amen. We were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Amen. Does that sound like some of the stuff you used to do? Some of the stuff that some of y'all still doing? Well, look at the next verse. Watch this now. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this, church. This is what God wants us to understand. When that new life breaks the water and comes forth from the watery womb, he comes forth as a newly born child of God, imprinted with God's spiritual DNA, given to him by the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. Notice what he says. He says, by the washing of regeneration. You know what that word regeneration means? It literally means to regene. In other words, God regenes you. He gives you his genes. So that now when you come out of the water, you are no longer not God's child, because God has regened you and now you have his spiritual DNA, and it's called the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 2. Look at Acts 2, 36 through 38. Are y'all with me? Acts 2, 36 through 38. Quickly. All right. You gonna make me quote it? Therefore, let all, yeah, you got it, you got it. Go back, go back. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the removal of your sins. Watch this, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God gives you his spirit in baptism. So when you come out of the water, you are regenerated, born again, a child of God. Are y'all with me? That does not happen without. That does not happen without the spirit working in the process. So God gets the credit and not us. Look at John 3 and verse 6. John 3 and verse number 6. Watch this. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And Jesus is simply saying, listen, the man that is flesh is weak and he's frail. And the man that is born of flesh will ultimately die. But the spirit, on the other hand, works on my spirit. And the Holy Spirit transforms me into a child of God. And now, because I've been born again, the new man in this body acts like a new man who belongs to God. Although I may look the same on the outside, I am not the same on the inside. That's why I get confused, and folk get confused when you say you're a Christian, but you're acting like a child of the devil. Listen to me. Listen to me. Folk always talking about, when I got baptized, my hands looked new and my feet looked new and all of that. That's a lie. That's just a song. Amen. That's just a song. I'm telling you now, if you go down in the water and you come up a new child of God, if you wore size 10 shoe, you still wear a 10 shoe. Amen. I wish I could go in the water and come up a new man outside. I'd go down every day, Brother Gibbs, get this weight off me. Amen, but I'd be in the water all the time. But it don't work like that. Your hands look the same, your feet look the same, your body looks the same. But what has changed is the man or the woman on the inside. Now watch verse number 7. Watch verse number 7. I'm going to show you this. Watch this. Jesus said, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you, singular, shouldn't marvel. You shouldn't be trying to figure out in your mind how it works. You, plural, every one of you in the world, and even all of those on the Sanhedrin court, you need to understand that if you want to be saved, you must be born again. It's the same for everybody. Everyone who wants to be saved must be born of the water and the spirit. There is no dry salvation. You can say all you want to, I don't have to get baptized. You're contradicting Jesus. Say, well, look here. I don't see anything in the water. Jesus didn't tell you to see. He said, get in. And he's going to prove to us in just a few minutes that you're not going to see it. Are y'all with me? Look at verse 8. Watch verse 8. Watch this. The wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it. But you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now listen. Why would Jesus bring up wind in the midst of a conversation about new birth and the water and the Spirit? He says, don't marvel at this. Nicodemus, let me help you to understand something. You trying to conceptualize this in your mind is beyond your ability. Let me give you an earthly illustration of that reality. He says, the wind blows. Watch this now. Wherever it wants to blow. And you hear the sound of it. But you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, in Jesus' day, they didn't have sophisticated weather radars. And they did not know. And I'm gonna move this along even to our time. The origin or the destination of wind. And in reality, that's still the case. What is wind? What really is wind? I looked it up. By definition, wind is moving air. But where does wind come from to move the air? You see, when you start trying to conceptualize and get your mind around the concept of wind, there is a mystery still involved in wind. No matter how hard you try, you cannot grab it. Now, that helps you if you go back to the book of Ecclesiastes. When Solomon said, all is vanity. The Hebrew word is hebel. And he says it's wind. In essence, what he's saying is, it's like trying to grab the wind. You can't do it. And so Jesus is telling Nicodemus something. What is the application? Jesus said, just like you don't know where the wind has come from and where the wind is going, but you feel his presence. Or you see the evidence of the wind's presence. He says, so is everyone born of the Spirit. What is the point? The point is that just like the wind is mysterious and invisible, so is the work of the Holy Spirit on the human soul. His work is beyond man's comprehension. You cannot see it with your eyes. Now, why? Because it's from above. It's in the spiritual arena. It happens in the water. But you can't see anything but a physical act. You don't see sins removed. You don't see sins floating in the water. Thank God you don't. Because I would want the baptizer to be blind. I don't want you looking at my sin. Lord, Lord, you did that, Brother Williams. Look at all of that sin. See, when you get in the water, all you see is water. But something spiritual is happening. God is performing an operation, and he's cutting away all of that sin. You don't see sin floating up in the air. You don't even witness the Holy Spirit going into a person, and you don't see the old man renewed or removed and the new man formed. You don't see any of that. You can't see any of that. Because that's God's mysterious working of the Holy Spirit in our redemption. Just like you don't see the wind, you just feel its presence. Secondly, just like a person in the flesh can't see and understand the spiritual birth and where it has come from and how it happens and how it defies human explanation, so it is with the destination of those who have been born again. Let me tell you something. There are people in this world who say that there is no heaven. And they cannot figure out children of God. talking about and singing about this place that we're going to. I'm going that way. I got a mansion, a robe, and a crown. We sing all of those songs about heaven, yet we don't see heaven. The wind blows where it wants to blow, and we don't know where it came from, and we don't know where it's going, but it has a destination. And so it is, he says, with children of God. So it is with the man or woman who has been born of the Spirit. He's telling us that once God has formed that new man or new woman in us, we are headed somewhere. Are y'all listening to me, church? You see, as a child of God, I have an eschatological destination. My end does not come in this world. I'm headed somewhere. I may not look like much on the outside, but I'm headed somewhere. I may not have much, but I'm headed somewhere. I may not be that educated, but I'm headed somewhere. I may not get the job promotion, but I'm headed somewhere. I may not get approved for that home, but I'm headed somewhere. I may not get that car, but I'm headed somewhere. I may not dress the best, as some of you do, but I'm headed somewhere. That all of that stuff won't matter. Where I'm headed, you cannot see, and you don't know of it unless you have been born again. Where I'm headed, you may not believe that it exists because you cannot see it. I'm headed to a place where I don't have to qualify for a mansion because I'm already pre-approved and the mortgage has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are y'all listening to me? I'm headed to a place where I won't have to worry about how I dress because he has a robe and a crown for me. I won't have to worry about a job promotion because the last shall be first. I'm going somewhere. And the reason that I'm going somewhere is because I've been born again. I've been born from above. And when you have been born from above, you will never be at home in this world ever again. I don't care how much you have. I don't care how well off you are, where you live, there will always be a longing in you for something other than this world because you got God's Spirit in you now. And when you have God's Spirit in you now, there's going to be some form of restlessness in this world. And you are saying within yourself, there's got to be something else. And that's why you can say, I've got a mansion over the hilltop. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. One final note before closing. Jesus said, those who are born of the Spirit are just like the wind. Watch this now. You may not know the new birth process, and you may not know where those who are born again are headed. But you can feel the effect of their presence in the world, just like you can feel the presence of the wind. He said, so is one born of the Spirit. Now, it's about to get tight now. As a child of God, born again of the Spirit of God, the world ought to be able to feel our effect for good on the world. They ought to know that we are here. And they ought to be able to see and feel the difference that we are making because we have been born again. Listen, the wind of change blows everywhere. When the wind blows, You feel it? You see the leaves moving. The evidence is there. Make the transition. When you've been born again, the evidence of the new birth is present in your life. The wind of change blows everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, your influence is felt. Change is felt in your house. No more cursing and fighting and mistreating one another because you got a new spirit in control now. Change comes into your marriage. You are now a better husband and a better wife. Change is felt in your children because of by your children, because your tone with them is different. And they can see that daddy and mama are not the same. Change occurs on your job. You don't steal, you don't lie, and you don't slack off in the absence of the boss. Change occurs in your habits. Bad habits die and new habits are born. Change occurs in the choice of music and movies. When the new birth happens, your speech changes, your vocabulary changes, and change comes in your attitude. You have a better attitude. You stop being so mean, just nasty and unkind to people for no reason. You stop being so negative towards people, never seeing any good in anyone, so stuck up on yourself. You stop being standoffish, won't get close to anyone, and won't let anyone get close to you. You stop being so critical of life and everyone in your life. You stop being so defensive, always ready to fight over nothing. You stop being so judgmental about everything and everyone. You stop being so paranoid, everybody is out to get you. You stop being so self-righteous, always right about everything, never wrong about anything. Like the sign that I read, it said, I don't have an attitude problem. I just have a personality that you can't handle. No, your problem is self-righteousness. Somebody ought to say amen. You stop being so jealous of others' success. Instead of finding fault with their blessings, you rejoice with them in their blessings. You stop being so impatient and you learn how to be more tolerant. You stop being so harsh and you learn how to be gentle with people and not be hurtful with your words, talking about, I'm just a straight shooter. Listen, listen, listen. When you've been born of the Spirit, you have a different spirit in you. And that same old person that you've always been is no more. Some of y'all probably saying, well, I must need to get baptized again. Because I know there might be some wives in here saying, you need to go on up to that water. And there may be some husbands doing the same thing. And there may be some children looking at mom and dad and need to go back to the water because that didn't happen. I'm just trying to tell you that God's Spirit makes a difference in your life. Are y'all with me? Amen. And it's confusing when children of God act like children of the devil. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. He says, now Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Lord have mercy. Like so many in the world, and even in the church, Nicodemus still didn't get it. Nicodemus was still stuck on the flesh. Look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel? And do not know these things? Now church, here's a powerful lesson. What it tells us is simply this. That a man can be a theologian in his own right. Teaching some theological seminary. Have a PhD in this and that and the other. And still not understand the word of God. still not understand the very basic principle of the new birth, that it is something that God does, and he does it through his Holy Spirit in water. And you got people walking around here talking about, I don't see anything in water. That's nothing but water. I don't care about all of that. That's not important. We believe that it's at faith and you don't have to get in the water. And Jesus is saying, except you be born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And you got scholars walking around saying, that's not true. Nicodemus is living proof that a person can be taught the truth and they still not get it because they're blind, hanging up on the flesh. There are people like that today who question the essentiality and the efficacy of baptism. Why? Because they are applying human logic and human wisdom trying to understand spiritual things. Listen, I don't know, Brother Gibbs. I don't understand from a human logic vantage point how a man or a woman can go down into H2O, a sinner, and come up a saint. I don't know how one can go down lost and come up saved. I don't know how one can go down on his way to hell and come up on their way to heaven. I don't know how one can go down into H2O out of Christ and come up in Christ. I don't know how one can go down in H2O without the Spirit and come up with the Spirit. I don't know how one can go down dirty and come up clean. I don't know how one can go down with all of their sins and come up without sins. I can't explain it. I just accept it by faith because God said, that's what I'm going to do through my Holy Spirit. When you get in the water, when you come out, you are a new creation in Christ. And if God said it, that settles it. And I accept it by faith. Now, I know you're saying, I don't get it, Brother Williams. Well, let me give you one more. Look at the rest of it. Look at the rest of it. He says in verse number 11, most assuredly I say to you, we, that is Jesus, we speak what we know, testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Even after me telling you all of this, you still don't get it. Now watch this. He says, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now, what does that mean? Simply this. Jesus said, I told you about the new birth process, right? I told you, Nicodemus, that you can't really wrap your mind around it because it's like the wind. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So I gave you an earthly illustration to communicate to you a heavenly reality. And you still missed it. Now, Nicodemus, if I were to speak to you of heavenly things in heavenly language that only one who has been in heaven and knows the language of heaven could ever communicate. If I spoke to you on that level, you would never get it because you can't even get an earthly illustration. So what is God trying to tell us? God is trying to tell us You need to quit trying to figure out how he makes you new.
Amen.
And do what he tells you to do.
Yeah, all right.
And trust him to do it.
That's right.
You know why folk get lost, Brother Gibbs? I don't see it. I don't understand it like that. Just get in the water. Why you get in the water? Because Jesus said do it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Except you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. That's too plain to miss. But you know why you're going to miss it? Don't make any sense to me. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. I know it's above your head. If you're here tonight, I know that it may be above your head, but you ought to grab it by faith.
Exactly.
Are y'all, do y'all have it?
Exactly.
That's why we walk by what?
Faith.
And not by? Faith. Amen. I don't see sins leaving me, but I know they did.
All right.
Because God said, that's when he does it. I don't see the Holy Spirit coming into me, but I know I have him. Because God said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. And I accept that by faith. If you're here tonight, you're not a Christian. I invite you to become a Christian, a child of God, a member of the Church of Christ. Why don't you leave here a new creation in Christ
Amen.
Jesus?
Amen.
Born again. How do you do that? By believing that Jesus died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again. By turning away from your sins. The Bible calls that repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 13, 3 and 5. Standing here tonight and confessing with your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And upon that confession, go get in the water.
Yeah.
God will perform surgery on you.
Mm-hmm.
Cut away the old man. You'll be a new man. Give you his spirit, he'll regene you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come out of the water, you'll be a child of God, born again with his spiritual DNA, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Will you come as we together stand and sing?
Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not the heart, be saved. Oh, tonight, oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is